Inspired Parenting Radio Show with host Sandy Sedgebeer, where our mission is to inspire conscious parents, families, and educators by bringing you the latest research and thinking on supporting today's highly evolved children to fulfill their potential as healthy, confident, resourceful, and emotionally intelligent individuals.
Parenting Radio Show, and if you've been hanging on for the last 15 minutes, then apologies. Something went wrong somewhere in the technology and we weren't able to start the show at its normal time, but better late than never. So on with the show. So let me ask you this. You've committed to raising your family in a healthy, holistic manner. You've gone out of your way to source the best and healthiest organic foods you can find. You're conscious about what you expose your children to outside your home, and you do your very best to limit the time they spend watching TV or on computers. But if you think you've covered all the bases, you might need to think again. For according to experts, many homes are becoming increasingly toxic with a chemical overload of contaminants, pollutants, fumes, mold, and electromagnetic frequencies that are silently undermining all their owners' efforts to create a safe and healthy environment for their family. With us today to explain where we might be going wrong and provide some simple, sensible ways to safeguard our own and our children's well-being is Mary Cordaro. An environmental consultant and biobiologist, Mary Cordaro utilises her 2+ decades of experience and her academic and professional background in adult learning and instructional design to lecture, teach, and consult one-on-one with homeowners, parents, parents-to-be, architects, builders, and commercial building owners, as well as environmentally and chemically sensitive individuals on all the healthiest building and remodeling materials and products that will truly turn toxic homes and buildings into safe, healthy havens. Mary Cordaro, welcome. I'm sorry we're so late getting the show started, but I'm glad to have you here.
I'm thrilled to talk with you today. Thank you so much.
Mary, I was shocked to read that the average modern home contains an alarming mix of fumes from paints and dozens of other chemical products, carpeting, vinyl, pressed wood, mold, mildew, along with contaminants such as dust and other microscopic particles. It would seem that far from making us healthier, modern living is actually making us sicker. So how did it get like this?
That's a great question. You know, there's kind of a history that leads all you know, up to this point, but I think it probably started right after World War II, when a kind of assembly line way of building became necessary. You know, the men came home from war and there needed to be a lot of houses built really fast. So they, instead of, you know, one at a time kind of thing, they figured out how to really slap them up fast in the U.S. And that has just progressed to become more and more quick and cheap, actually. Even it doesn't seem like it's cheap, but compared to other countries, particularly in Europe, our way of building is much cheaper.
Wow. Well, I tell you, in England, it's getting exactly the same. I'm appalled at some of the, you know, the houses that are going up and the construction and how flimsy it all is. But now you're an environmental consultant and a biologist. Before you tell us what a biologist is, tell us what first inspired your passion for creating healthy home environments.
Well, you know, like so many people in my field, I was environmentally sensitive myself many years ago. I'm no longer sensitive to those same contaminants, but at the time I was, and I was determined to figure out what to do about it. So I joined and became certified in this field called biology. It's BAU and then biology with an IE. All my teachers were German. A German brought the school over to the U.S. It's not anymore run by the same institute or affiliated with the same institute in Germany as closely now. But at the time, it was quite quite remarkable and cutting edge, and still is. I'm still working with the Germans on all the cutting edge information. So that's how I got into it, and I worked for many years for chemically sensitive people primarily. But then as green became more popular, the internet, of course, children's health has changed so much. The statistics are pretty appalling. More and more young parents started to contact me, and so I'm really pleased to now have a wider audience, both for consulting and teaching, that includes younger people either planning to have kids who are pregnant or who have small children, which is, of course, the most important audience.
Well, the question has to be raised, why are governments allowing toxic chemicals to be used in homes?
Well, it's the same story for just about any of our, problematic toxic areas, whether it's, agriculture, pharmaceuticals. It's the same for the building industry and the industries that make all the interior materials, furnishings, and so forth. In the U.S. particularly has a very, very strong chemical lobby, and which, of course, affects the building industry, interior furnishings industries. And as a result, even green, LEED certified homes, which are the gold standard for, green and energy conservation and so forth, even those certification programs are quite pressured by industry lobbyists to continue to include toxic ingredients in these products and materials. So it really is because, our country is really run that way. It's corporate run, basically, and so they have an enormous influence on what goes into our homes. So the average homeowner really needs to do a lot of research, which is tough. It puts them in a tough position. It's hard to know what's healthy and what isn't. You can't always count on green being healthy. So that's where I come in, and I'm hoping to get the word out more and more to people and help younger people make some better decisions about things.
Interesting, isn't it? The drugs industry and, this particular industry we're referring to both have, millions, billions spent on the lobbyists, and they make the decisions about our health. Very, very wrong. But anyway, that's another story. You say that one of the most important rooms in the house, the bedrooms that we and our children sleep in, why are those rooms specifically so important?
The bedroom, the nursery, the family room, the family bedroom, all of these are the most important room in the house to start improving, because during sleep, that is in the whole 24-hour period, that is our most what's called sensitive regenerative time. That means that in order to really detox, for all the systems to work properly at night as they're supposed to, hormonal system, endocrine system, immune system, all of these things have very important functions specifically during sleeping hours. And that is why we are more sensitive during that time. And we're designed that way. So if there are pollutants interfering with that process, such as electromagnetic fields, mold, chemicals, moisture, whatever it is, just poor indoor air quality or electromagnetic fields, it interferes with the body's ability to do what it's supposed to do during sleep when it's supposed to be regenerating.
Wow. Even the bed that we're sleeping on.
Oh, the bed is the most important piece of furniture in the house. That is the most important one. And so, it's really, I think if somebody can afford to get an organic mattress, that's where you want to put your money, and, maybe cut back in other areas so that you can really, do your body a favor and get something really healthy. Because the difference between a conventional mattress and an organic is pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling. I was reading some of the notes on your website, you know, that you say that our rooms are filled with so many comforts that we associate with a quality night's rest, overstuffed down pillows, comforters, 300 thread count sheets, TVs, stereos, fountains, and yet these comforts may be the exact culprits behind our maladies.
That's right, absolutely. I mean, the bedroom really needs to be pristine and super simple, as simple as possible. It should really be for sleeping, not for with entertainment, media centers, all kinds of things plugged in, computers, products and materials that put out fragrances, you know, all of these fancy bed products that are treated with chemicals, you know, the bedding, the sheets, the coverlets, and so forth. These are mostly, you know, 90% of the products out there are really not good for us to sleep with. However, there's a huge growing industry for alternatives. And all it really means is, and I think this is the big message when anyone is trying to improve, whether that improves the way they eat, what's in their bedrooms and homes, you know, this is across the board. You have to learn to prioritize and put your money into the most important aspects in your home and cut back on the unnecessary things that, you know, the fun stuff at the mall that you're going to throw away in a year, that kind of thing. So it's a mindset, you know, it's wrapping your mind around what's most important and letting go of the things that really aren't necessary.
So it really comes down to parents having to do their due diligence and examine what it is they're buying and
That's
see
right.
what alternatives are available. You offer some great advice. You talk about, you know, making sure that the mattress is made with high quality natural components such as organic cotton, pesticide, chemical free or organic wool, natural latex. Are the places supplying all of these things easy to find?
They're, you know, certainly much more visible and easy to find than they used to be. I have my favorites, of course, and I'm happy to email those to anybody who is listening to the show.
Okay, well, let's come back to that after the break. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with environmental consultant and biologist Mary Cordaro. We'll be back in a few moments.
This is OTR-FM of the IOM Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
I'm speaking with environmental consultant and biologist Mary Cordaro about how we can keep our homes and our families from falling victim to sick building syndrome. Mary, electromagnetic frequencies, paint and moisture, all of these can also cause tremendous problems. Let's start with EMFs. What exactly are they? Where do they come from? And how can we protect ourselves from them?
Well, EMFs, often referred to as EMR, stands for electromagnetic fields or electromagnetic radiation. And these are frequencies. They're measurable, proven frequencies that come from wired sources like power lines, the wiring inside your walls, the cables that you use to plug into the wall to turn on, to run your lighting and your appliances. So wired sources is one big area, and wireless sources are another big area, another big source of electromagnetic fields. They can all be measured, tested with certain types of equipment. I have been trained to test for electromagnetic fields, and there are a number of really, really good full-time electromagnetic field inspectors who test and give recommendations for remediation. So the wired sources are all we used to have, and that's how I began, helping people to figure out how to eliminate the electromagnetic fields from wired sources. And now we have this whole other even bigger source of very dangerous, actually, levels of electromagnetic fields. Electromagnetic fields, basically what happens is they, a simple way to put it is that they interfere with our own body's electromagnetic physiology. We have basically a communication system in our bodies that where the brain and the body communicate with each other, cells communicate with each other, very, very subtle electromagnetic frequencies in our bodies. And all of these man-made frequencies can interfere with our bodies operating properly, but they can also, they've also been implicated with serious illness. So people can have anything from something subtle like insomnia or headaches, all the way, sometimes joint pain from electromagnetic pains, all the way to something really acute and more serious. In children, it can be behavioral issues. Teenagers, they're starting to put two and two together with depression, even suicidal tendencies, where there's too much wireless in a school, for example. There's a growing population of teens that are reacting to Wi-Fi in schools. And then to, tumors, cancer from cell phones being held to the head too long for too many years, and many other serious diseases. There's a really good what's called a meta study online that really summarizes all the best studies that have been done on electromagnetic fields and health effects, and it's called the Bio Initiative Report. If anybody wants to go and take a look at that, there are thousands of studies to prove that there is reason for concern and lots of reason for doing bigger full-scale studies. There have been no studies that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that electromagnetic fields coming from cell phones, tablets, Wi-Fi, and some of these other sources are safe. We have no evidence that proves that they are safe.
So what can we do about them?
Well, if we start in the bedroom and we want to, really think about all of the different sources, if we start with the wired sources, and again, really thinking of the bedroom as a a place for rest as opposed to entertainment from electronic devices, What you want to do is keep as much unplugged in the bedroom as possible. Really, in fact, even if you can put your nightstand lamps on a switch on the wall, so that when you switch the switch on the wall, you turn the light off as opposed to, you know, the switch on the light. That would be going even a step further. In addition, you want to remove as much as possible any kind of media or computer device, any device at all that's electronic. If that's not possible, then it definitely should be unplugged. But keep in mind that a computer or a television watched in a bedroom, even after it's unplugged, it does offload a type of static, which is a type of EMF for up to 8 hours into the room, even after it's unplugged. It's called electrostatic. So removing it is much, much better. Cell phones are the biggest problem, and tablets, like iPads, for example. Both of them, when they're in standby mode, so you don't even have to be talking on it, just in standby mode, will emit a type of radiation called non-ionizing radiation 10 to 15 feet out from the device at levels that are high enough to, create damage, to be unhealthy for sleep. So the cell phones should definitely be either put in airplane mode or turned off. Or if you don't have a landline, which is something everyone should have, is a landline. If you don't, then they should be at least 15 feet away from everyone in the house while they're sleeping. Put the ringer on really loud so you know when you're getting a phone call, but keep it as far away from the bedroom as possible.
Wow. What about these devices? Like, I'm looking at the packaging of a product called RTL, which is a little device that you put on the back of your phone. And I'm familiar with new Tesla's products that are supposed to help with the EMR. What's your view of these kinds of devices?
Well, there's a couple different categories of these devices. One is more energetic, meaning they don't do anything measurable at all. Measurable meaning with professional testing, high-frequency testing equipment. And those are, supposedly some of them may help your body to, take the frequencies a little bit better, be less affected, but there is no scientific proof of any of those. Then there are other products on the market that are literal shields. You know, they have been tested in reputable labs to prove that they cut down on radiation. However, none of those really are more than a Band-Aid. They may cut down on the radiation to the head, for example, or on your lap. But remember that the frequencies don't just come out of one place on the device, the back or the front or the side or whatever, which is where the shield would be. They radiate out. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with these shields, but it doesn't really decrease the health, the potential health effects enough to give you peace of mind. You should only use those after you have already greatly reduced exposure by cutting down on the time that you talk in general, by using hands-free as much as possible. Using a landline at home instead of a cell phone is possible. And when you're speaking on the cell phone, never put it on your head, because the most damaging effects are from the heat effect when it's at right on your head. And there's really no proper way to completely shield for that. So you want to use a headset. The best type to use is what's called a it has a Bluetooth, B-L-U-E-T-U-B-E, Bluetooth or air tube with what's called a ferrite bead, and F-E-R-R-I-T-E. And both of those, when you use both of those and you talk on the cell phone, you're eliminating some of the highest levels that your body is in. But if you still need to really, minimize exposure, because, again, you are in a 10 to 15 foot radius of unhealthy levels anyway. So exposure reduction is most important. Same with Wi-Fi. You know, if you have to have Wi-Fi, turn it off at night. And best is to have wired internet. And by the way, there's a great article, I shouldn't say great since I wrote it, but it's a comprehensive article on all of these tips on a website called the Weston A. Price Foundation's website. And if you just Google my name and then EMR, you'll go to that article on the Weston Price Foundation's website, and it's very comprehensive and will give you all the exposure reduction steps to take.
Wonderful, and I'm very familiar with the Weston Price Foundation site. Moisture. Now, so many homes these days have a master suite with an ensuite bathroom, and you're saying that is not good.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's better to keep the bathroom completely separate if possible, but there are some things you can do to, again, minimize the problem. One of those things is, and this is whether or not your master bathroom is right off of your bedroom or not. You should always do this regardless. That's to run a good exhaust fan. Many bathrooms don't come with exhaust fans, just a window that opens. And some poor people have not even a window or a fan, which is absolute recipe for mold. So for anybody who can afford to do it, they're not in an apartment, they're in their own home, you need a really good exhaust fan that should be turned on during a bath or shower and left on for half an hour at least after you're finished. And this is if you have an open window or not. A window is not enough. Because of the materials we used to build with, it's not like the old days when we used these plasters and materials that were more mold resistant. Now we use drywall and paints and all of these things which are not good in moisture, and they will mold very easily. So to reduce mold, use that exhaust fan.
Okay. You're listening to the Inspired Parenting Radio Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with environmental consultant and biologist Mary Cordaro about how we can maintain a safe, healthy, holistic environment in our homes. We'll be back in a few moments. Don't go away.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Oh, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and you're listening to the Inspired Parenting Show. My guest is environmental consultant and biologist Mary Cordaro, and we're talking about how to transform your home into a safe, healthy, holistic environment. Mary, of course, everybody hearing this is going to, you know, be wanting to transform everything straight away, and that's very expensive. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to do it on a budget, and you've got a great list. So why don't you run through that list with us? What are some of the things that we can do that are not going to be too, out of pocket for us to begin with?
Absolutely, yes. There are a few things to do that are the kind of the low hanging fruit where you want to start, and I always have my clients begin here. The first thing is to switch out your cleaning products from the conventional brands that you're getting in grocery stores and other types of big box stores to the natural or homemade cleaning products. That's a huge first step. Because cleaning products are a regular source of highly toxic chemicals. Just doing that will take the load down quite a bit. And there's a lot of great, DIY, make your own, do it yourself cleaning product recipes online using baking soda and vinegar, for example. So absolutely, and start right away with that. Number two is to remove all fragrances from the home, such as plug-in sanitizers and fragrance emitters, candles with fragrances, anything that has a synthetic fragrance as opposed to natural organic essential oils. You want to remove those. They emit very, very toxic chemicals, including hormone-mimicking chemicals. There's hundreds of chemicals that are not even regulated from the fragrance industry or disclosed. So that's a huge step you can take. And then the third thing would be personal products. Our skin is our largest organ. Whatever you put on your skin goes in your body. So if you can't eat it, you shouldn't be putting it on your skin, basically. Non-toxic personal products for the hair, face, body, makeup, those are easy to switch out as well. They may be more expensive than something you get in the drugstore, but it's a very, very worthwhile investment. Some of these makeup products have lead in them, for example, and many toxic ingredients, not enough time to go into here. So the next thing that I always have people do is pretty quickly, because this is a big source of again estrogen mimickers, is plastic. Anything that you're eating out of and drinking out of, and this goes all the way from food storage to sippy cups. You definitely want to trade those out. All plastic items, even if they say BPA free. And trade those out for glass or stainless steel. And there are a number of wonderful companies making great products, even sippy cups made out of glass that don't break because they have a silicone sleeve on them. And even if they did get dropped from a high place onto concrete, the glass stays inside the silicone sleeve. So those are all great places to start, before you work on the big stuff, meaning like your heating and air conditioning or getting a mold inspector in there. There's a lot of big steps you can take, but those are the places to start. Oh, and of course, unplugging everything as much as possible that you can in the bedroom, keeping it safe. Obviously, you don't want to trip in the dark, but unplugging as much as you can in the bedroom.
Yeah, one of the things that I use a lot are essential oils. There's a wonderful lady called, now I've forgotten her name. Odds on. Oh, we'll think of it in a minute. But Valerie Ann Werwood, and she does some wonderful books called The Fragrant Pharmacy, and she uses pure essential oils in the kitchen, in the home. Mm-hmm. I've always found them to be much better than the chemicals.
Great.
Yeah,
that's great. If a product says fragrance on it, And it doesn't say that the fragrance is made from an organic essential oil, then that fragrance is toxic. Mm. So just that, I would just purge everything in the house that has the word fragrance on it. And oh, and we're talking laundry products, everything. And obviously, even the things I just suggested are going to cost some money, right? They're just the least expensive things to do. So go slowly, step by step. You don't want to cause stress. But all of those items I just discussed will make an enormous difference in your body burden of chemicals that have accumulated, as well as in your children's. They call that the body burden. That's the level of accumulated chemicals in the body that increases over time. And children are most sensitive, especially because their bodies are still growing. Some of the systems in babies, for example, are still developing. But all the way through the teen years, children are very, very sensitive, and their body burden needs to be as low as possible. So all of these things will help a lot.
Well, and some of the things you mentioned, I mean, are going to be a lot cheaper. You know, baking soda, vinegar,
right.
Even half a lemon, you know, cleaning your chopping boards with just pure lemon juice.
Absolutely. That's super cheap. And, you know, there's walnut oil can be used to oil cutting boards. You know, you can get walnut oil from the health food store. It's very inexpensive. So, yeah, going online to look for make your own cleaning products, there's a lot of great options. And it will definitely cost less if you make your own, definitely, than what you'd buy in the grocery store or at a big box store.
Now, of course, one of the things you say is so simple. Take your shoes off before you come in the house.
Yes, that's also absolutely, it doesn't cost a penny. And boy, does that go a long way. There was a study that came out many years ago in one of the scientific magazines that showed that wall-to-wall carpet that has been down for, let's say, 5 to 10 years had 400% more pesticides in it than in homes where people walked in the house with street shoes than people who took their shoes off. And that's because our shoes pick up everything. I mean, think about what is on the bottom of your feet when you walk around outside, everything from chemicals like pesticides to bacteria, toxic chemicals from tires, for example, solvents. I mean, there are so many, really, some of them unmentionable, disgusting. And it collects in a wall-to-wall carpet much more so than on a hard flooring, although it's better you don't wear shoes in a house at all, even if you don't have wall-to-wall carpeting. But wall-to-wall carpeting collects it. You never really get it out because it just gets ground deeper and deeper. And then think about the children and pets that are down there on the floor, getting it on their bodies and into their mouths and so forth. So shoes off, and just if you have to wear shoes in the house, just have house shoes, you know, that are relegated to the house, and or go barefoot or wear socks, slippers, whatever. But that's that will make a huge improvement on many levels, not just toxicity, but your house will stay clean much easier. You know, you'll be able to clean less because you won't be tracking in so much stuff.
And you say that wash bed linens weekly in 132-degree water.
Well, that's hot water. Washing your linens in hot water once a week is a good idea to cut down on dust mites. Dust mites are these really ugly-looking little bugs that grow quite readily in almost everybody's mattress, unless it's made with organic or pesticide-free, chemical-free wool underneath the cover. Because all the other materials, synthetic mattress materials, even cotton down, they all are great breeding grounds for dust mites, which propagate and then leave behind their feces, and the feces are what a lot of people tend to be allergic to. But I always say, even if you're not dust mite sensitive, that's kind of an yucky thing to sleep with, right? So might as well just wash your sheets weekly in hot water to decrease the dust mites. And, you know, leave the covers off. Don't make your bed right away. Let the moisture dry out for a while before you make your beds, because dust mites also breed much more readily in a moist environment. They like they live on skin cells, dead skin cells, and they are quite cozy in a moist environment. Our bodies let go of about a pint of vapor per adult body into the mattress, and that gets trapped in a conventional mattress, which dust mites just love. So that's why I said to wash, especially if you have children or you yourself are sensitive to dust mites, you want to wash your sheets once a week in hot water.
Okay, and we're almost out of time now, but one other very simple thing, of course, is houseplants.
Yes, now plants are good. However, I have to say that with a big caveat, if you overwater your plants or if you are mold sensitive, you probably shouldn't have plants, because a potted plant is a source of mold. So I would keep them out of the bedroom and use other ways to clean the air. You can read about all that on my blog or website. There's lots of tips. And make sure you don't overwater. Let the soil dry between waterings, and buy sterilized soil to begin with so that you're not starting out with moldy soil.
Mary Cordaro, I am so sorry we missed the first 15 minutes of this show, but you have given us lots of good advice here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Mary.
Bye-bye.
And as Mary said, you can read articles and her blog at her website, marycordaro.com. Mary, CORDARO.com. That's all for this week. The Inspired Parenting Radio Show is brought to you by inspiredparenting.com. Do check it out. Look at all the free articles online. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for being with me today. I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.